Hello and welcome back to another episode of Bases Loaded. I'm your host, as always, Eric Ellefson. And on this week's episode, we have NFL wildcard weekend recap and then divisional round preview. We'll also do college football semifinals recap, as well as previewing the national championship game, which is a week from, or will be a week from yesterday, on January 20th. And then we'll also discuss some NBA and probably maybe a little college basketball, as I was checking, you know, what games are going on tonight in college basketball, at least with ranked. And we got a bunch of like ranked matchups, as obviously I think it's Monday, like yesterday. You know, they updated the, you know, AP top 25 poll, you know, with teams moving up, moving down, teams entering, you know, the poll, teams leaving, and so forth. We also have NBA, which we'll talk a little bit about. Not a whole lot happening. Jimmy Butler's kind of reiterated trade demand from the Heat, as you know, we're about 3 weeks from the trade deadline. And you know, I mean, I think there's been teams that are probably interested, but like he's like demanded a trade, and then I think like present, you know, Pat Riley has been like, no, we're not trading him. And now, like, you know, reiterating a demand for a trade. So, kind of a little up in air as to where that's going. You know, we've still, as like I said, you know, we're like 3 weeks away. We've had, you know, a bunch of games, you know, delayed as a result of the wildfires in LA. So the Clippers and Lakers, I don't think they haven't played a game in about a week. I think they resumed practice yesterday. I know last night for the Vikings Rams wild card game, originally supposed to be at SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, but because of the fires, it got moved to Arizona. So, I know, like, you know, I think it was, like, last Wednesday or Thursday, like, you know, the NFL was already kind of in talks to moving that game due to the wildfires, and then obviously did end up moving it. So, you know, we've had, like, it's kind of changed. Hasn't really changed college football because they don't really play. I mean, they played the Rose Bowl and that's in Pasadena. That was, you know, January 1st, so kind of before it started happening, you know, major. So, you know, transitioning from, like, you know, that to playoff football, we'll start with the NFL, as that wrapped up recently last night with the Rams taking care of the Vikings 27-9. Pretty much, yeah, the score pretty much tells the story. It was like the Rams jumped out to like a 10-0 lead. The Vikings were able to put up a field goal in the second quarter, and then it looked like they had a tied game, as they had like a fumble recovery for a touchdown got overturned, as I mean ultimately it seemed like they ruled that like Stafford was like, you know, throwing the ball into the ground as opposed to it like, you know, coming out of his hands. And then they ended up getting like, I mean, and then later in that second quarter, the Rams, they had a fumble recovery for a touchdown. And like, so halftime leading 24-3. I mean, the Rams only scored a field goal after that in the second half, but like, Minnesota wasn't really moving the ball. Sam Darnold struggled. I mean, 24 for 40 out of 40. So, you know, it's about what, 55% passing completeness percentage, somewhere around that range. For 245 yards, a touchdown interception. Was sacked 9 times. Like, probably half of those could have been avoided if he just threw the ball away. But, you know, he held on and then ultimately got sacked. Only ran for 106 yards. No Vikings receiver was over 100 yards receiving. Leading receiver was tight end TJ Hawkinson, 5 receptions for 64 yards and a touchdown on 5 targets. Jefferson was 5 receptions, 58 yards on 8 targets. Darnold also lost a fumble. And then, I mean, Stafford, 19 of 27, 209 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Rams rushed for only 90 yards as a team. 76 of those coming from Tyron Williams, who had a receiving touchdown as well. 9 sacks, including 2 by Kobe Turner. 1.5 each by Byron Young and Nelvin Gallimore. So, pretty much took care of business. And then the Rams now play, well, we'll go through division rounds later. But, so the first wildcard game Saturday afternoon, that was, I think that was a 3:30 game. With the Texans beating the Chargers 32-12. Justin Herbert, 14 of 32 passing for 242 yards, 1 touchdown and 4 interceptions. The light, I will say at least 2 or 3 of those, I know like half at least were not like his fault. Like he threw it on target, it hit the receiver in the hands, and they didn't catch it, and then it just winds up, you know, falling into the hands of a defender. One of those was returned for an interception. So, you know, not Herbert's best performance. I don't know if it's more disappointing than his previous postseason game. No, I think his first one's probably a little bit more. Yeah, I would definitely say more disappointing, as they had like a 27, I think it was 27 point lead. You know, it was like 20 something point lead against the Jaguars that they blew. I think they were on the road too as well. So, like, you know, that was a game, you know, should have had. This, I mean, disappointing on a whole, on a different level. You know, interceptions, only ran for 50 yards as a team. You know, wide receiver led. McConkey, 9 receptions, 197 yards and a touchdown on 14 targets. No one else had more than 5. So, you know, kind of where the ball's going. They had, let's say, 2 fumble recoveries on defense. 3 sacks, 7 tackles for loss. Let's see, 5 QB hits. And an interception as a team. It looks like they did have 2, with Derwin James picking off CJ Stroud in the end zone, but they ultimately ruled that he didn't maintain possession of the ball going to the ground. So, and then I think, you know, Tetson sort of touched on that drive, you know, later on that drive anyway, so that would have been a big 7-point turnaround. CJ Stroud went 22 for 23 yards or attempts for 282 yards with 1 touchdown, 1 interception, 168 yards rushing as a team, with Joe Mixon for 106 yards, 1 touchdown on 25 carries. Nico Collins, 7 catches for 122 yards and a touchdown on 8 targets. And 4 sacks and 5 tackles for loss. 2 interceptions by Derek Singletary Jr., Eric Murray with a pit sits, and then Kamari Lassiter with the other interception. So just, you know, not what the Chargers were hoping for. Obviously, first year head coach Jim Harbaugh, you know, getting back to the postseason for, I think that was the first time in like 2 years, 2 or 3 years. So, you know, 20-point loss on the road, not even when I started. And then the other Saturday game, Baltimore taking care of the Steelers, 28-14. See the team cast. Like, yeah, it was 21-0 at half. Then Russ Wilson was able to lead like 2, you know, touchdown drives, passing touchdowns to Van Jefferson and George Pickens. Kind of make it within 7? I think so. Or they were, might have been like down. No, they did it within 7. And then they weren't really able to stop them. I mean, ran for 29 yards as a team, with 17 of those yards coming from Najee Harris. And then Russell Wilson was tied for the 2nd leading rusher with 6 yards as well. But he went 20 for 29 passing, 270 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Defense only had 1 sack. And 5 tackles for loss is not bad. Only 1 QB hit. Only 2 pressures. And then, you know, Lamar Jackson, you know, did what he had to do. 175 yards and 2 touchdowns on 16 for 21 passing. Derrick Henry with 186 yards and 2 touchdowns on 26 carries. Lamar also rushed for 81 yards on 15 carries. I mean, some of those designed runs, some of those, you know, QB scrambles as the play breaks down. Touchdowns to Rashad Bateman and Justin Hill. They were without Pro Bowler Zay Flowers with a knee injury. I don't know if he'll be back, or if he'll be, you know, playing the division game against I mean, Buffalo on that is Sunday. I think that's Sunday night. Or Sunday nightish. I think it's like 5. 5 o'clock, you know. Or maybe like 6 p.m. 6 p.m. Eastern, you know, 5 Central type of thing. So, I mean, third time playing the Steelers this season, 2 straight wins, and, you know, they cruise into a playoff meeting against the Bills, who they demolished, I think it was 35-10. It was like late September, early October, so it's been a couple of months. So we'll kind of see how that goes. I mean, going to the Bills. Bills beat the Broncos 31-7. The Broncos struck first on a 43-yard touchdown from Bo Nix to his college teammate Troy Franklin. That was on the first possession of the game, you know, and then, you know, they never led again. 31 unanswered points by Buffalo, and they cruise, you know, to the division round against Baltimore in Buffalo. So the 2 seed. So, I mean, Bo Nix, we had 13 for 22 passing for 144 yards and a touchdown. Was also the leading rusher, 4 carries for 43 yards. Javonte Williams was second on the team with 29 yards on 7 carries, 79 yards rushing as a team. Cortland Sutton, leading receiver, 5 receptions for 75 yards on 9 targets. And then defense, 2 sacks, 3 tackles for loss, 1 QB pressure, probably this, well, not necessarily, no, it wouldn't be the sack because they had 2 sacks in them. And then 4 QB hits. So they didn't get a whole lot of pressure on Allen. You know, he was able to run around and do his thing. 20 for 26 yards passing, 272 yards, 2 touchdowns. James Cook, leading rusher, 120 yards and a touchdown on 23 carries. Allen was second with 46 yards on 8 carries, 210 yards as a team. Curtis Samuel and Ty Johnson with the touchdown receptions. Samuel, leading receiver, with 68 yards and a touchdown on 3 receptions. Khalil Shakir, second on the team with 61 yards on 6 catches on 6 targets. Kind of eased in through it. And that wrapped up like the AFC. So it was all AFC like in the first 3 games, and then the NFC was the second 3 games. So first NFC playoff game was Packers at Eagles. The Eagles winning 22-10. I mean, Packers kept it close. Like, the first play was a kickoff to the Packers, who then fumbled on like the 23-something yard line, and then the Eagles were able to convert for a touchdown. And then tried a field goal, so it was 10-0 Eagles at the end of the first quarter. McManus was able to get the Packers on the board with a 26-yard field goal. Dallas Goedert with a 24-yard pass. Touchdown pass from Jalen Hurts. So 16-3 at halftime. And then, oh no, that was in the third quarter, my bad. was the McManus field goal and Dallas got a touchdown reception. And then fourth quarter, Josh Jacobs with a 1 yard touchdown rush to cut it within, or to a one possession lead, or one possession game, I should say. And then Jake Elliott had 2 30-plus-yard field goals. I think McManus also missed a field goal that would have cut it to 3. Yeah, he missed a field goal and then converted his extra point. Packers had 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss, 1 QB pressure, 5 QB hits. Had some fumbles and stuff like that. Let's see, Love, 20 out of 33 passing for 216 yards, no touchdowns and 3 picks. Josh Jacobs, 18 carries, 81 yards, and a touchdown. And then Jordan Love and tight end Tucker Kraft were second on the team with 10 yards rushing for 107 as a team. I mean, yeah, the 3 interceptions kind of killed them. I mean, Jalen Hurts was only 13 for 21 yards passing, 131 yards, 2 touchdowns. QB rating of 111.4. You know, didn't have a huge game, as it was like his first game back in like 3 or so weeks since he left. The first quarter of the game against the Commanders with a concussion. That was like halfway through the first quarter, something around there. So, you know, didn't do a whole lot, but like coming back first game in a while, like, you know, didn't really have to do a whole lot and probably wasn't asked to do a whole lot, as he also had 6 carries for 36 yards rushing. Saquon Barkley, 119 yards, no touchdowns on 25 carries. And then defense, 2 sacks, 4 tackles for loss, 4 pressures, 5 QB hits. So yeah, a little close. I mean, not as close as the score would say. But, you know, first round games are usually kind of over, you know, playoff mismatches, you know, where the higher seed kind of expected to win by a decent amount. I mean, when we go for the division round, we'll kind of preview, you know, the over or like, you know, favorites and stuff like that. And then the season wrapped up, or Sunday football, because there was a doubleheader on Saturday, tripleheader Sunday, and then the last wildcard game is always on Monday night football. We had the Commanders beating the Buccaneers 23-20 on a doink field goal, walk-off doink field goal, as Washington wins their first playoff game since 2006. Jaden Daniels, in his playoff debut, went 24 for 35 passing, 268 yards passing, two touchdowns, no picks. Also the leading rusher, 13 carries for 36 yards, no touchdowns, 82 yards as a team. Touchdown passes to De'Ami Brown and Terry McLaurin, who both finished as the leading receiver, 89 yards. Receiving, both had touchdown. Brown had 5 receptions on 5 targets. McLaurin had 7 catches on 10 targets. Eckler helping out with receiving game, has 3 receptions for 26 yards, as he's always been a pretty good, you know, receiving back as well. And then defense, Bobby Wagner with a fumble recovery. I think that was like the one in the red zone, if I'm thinking, remembering correctly. They had one sack as a team. Combined sack from Wagner and Armstrong. Two tackles for loss, no QB pressures, and two QB hits. And then for Tampa Bay, Baker Mayfield, 15 for 18 for 185 yards and two touchdowns, no picks. Did have a fumble recovery, or fumble loss. He also added 23 yards rushing on 7 carries. Lucky Irving for 17 yards, or 17 carries for 77 yards, I should say. Also had a receiving touchdown. Mike Evans, no surprise, was the leading receiver. 7 receptions for 92 yards and a touchdown, 7 targets. Tampa Bay had 1 QB sack, 4 tackles for loss, 3 QB pressures, and 4 QB hits. So that wraps up, you know, the wild card. As I began talking with the Vikings and Rams. So that sets us up for the division round, which kicks off Saturday afternoon, as the 2-time defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs host the Texans. That is at 3:30 on ESPN/ABC/ESPN+. And then the night game is the Commanders against the Lions at 7 o'clock on Fox. So both of the one seeds kicking off their playoff run on Saturday. And then Sunday at 2 on NBC/Peacock is the Rams at the Eagles, followed by at 5:30 is the Ravens at Bills, and that is on CBS/Paramount+. And then, you know, winners of those go on to the conference championship game, which is Sunday, January 26th, with the NFC Championship game at 2 p.m. on Fox, and then the AFC Championship game at 5:30 on CBS/Paramount+. So, opening up division rounds, we have the Chiefs as 7.5-point favorites, the Lions as 10-point favorites. So probably, okay, the Eagles as 6-point favorites. And then, so all the home teams are favored, except for the Bills, who are one-point underdogs to the Ravens. I would guess due to the fact that, like, you know, the Ravens, like, beat the Bills early this season. I think that also was at Buffalo, if I'm not mistaken. So that's kind of how it did. So yeah, I did do, well, I filled out, like, ESPN does like a playoff predictor, like bracket challenge type thing that they do. They only let you do 2 brackets, at least on ESPN's thing. Maybe, like, you know, Fox Sports or CBS Sports, Yahoo, something like that, you know, allows you to do more. But I was able to do 2, and I usually just do it through ESPN, because that's also what I do, like, you know, March Madness and fantasy football through. So, like, I have the ESPN fantasy app, and I have all of them through that, so it's just kind of easy to do it. one bracket I'm perfect 100%, and then the other one, I think I'm at like 85%, like I got one wrong, maybe two. Well, that's because I'm curious. I'm gonna check. 81%. That's not what I. What did it? Why did it do that? Just. Oh, yeah. Which ones? So I got Tampa Bay, Minnesota wrong. So I did. So it was two wrong. Okay. So then, yeah, this one, I was perfect. I pretty much picked the higher seeds to win, except for Washington. And then I have Chiefs, Ravens, Lions, Eagles winning. And then, yeah. So, kind of expect the Chiefs and Lions to take care of business. I mean, you know, they didn't play last week, having the number one overall seed and getting the first round bye. But I mean, like Andy Reid with the Chiefs has had, you know, a first round bye so many times, you know, since Mahomes has become the starter, that they kind of know what's expected, and like some of them, you know, players have been on, like, you know, this team for years, so they kind of know they've been, you know, with their back-to-back titles, and then the one they won following, you know, in the 2019 season, so kind of know the drill. Same with, like, you know, Dan Campbell, head coach of the Lions. Like, he was with the Patriots, and all those times they had, like, you know, first-round bye, so they kind of know how to prepare for that. And then and Sunday's game, Rams, Eagles, Ravens, Bills, I mean, all of them played last week. You know, I mean, the Rams. No, I was going to say they did a short. No. I was going to say they did a short week of rest, but they don't. Because they played, you know, last night on Monday. That it kind of seemed to give them they were going to play Sunday. I don't. Like, they wouldn't. No, they'd be a little. You know, kind of cruel and unfair to have them do that. I can see all these favored teams to win. I mean, Buffalo and, you know, Baltimore's gonna be like, I mean, these all should be good games. I mean, I'm gonna be watching, obviously, you know, my Chiefs full-heartedly as we push, start our run to win three straight Super Bowls. You know, something no one's ever done. But yeah, I'm kind of leaning to the favorite teams. I mean, Baltimore's only favored by one. You know, we'll see, you know, at the end of the week, come Friday, and then like Sunday morning, or even Sunday by the time at 2, by the time the Eagles, you know, Rams start, you know, kick off, see what the, you know, the spread is for that game, you know, 3 hours before kickoff. So, because I'm sure it'll probably change. It can go back and forth. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, you know, tomorrow it's Bills by 2, and then it's back to the Ravens by 1 on Thursday, and then maybe Ravens by 2 on Friday. I'd be, if it, like, you know, switched or changed a lot, it wouldn't surprise me every day. So, and then going on to the other, you know, playoff football that we have. Well, going on with, get there, the college football semifinals, which opened Thursday, last Thursday, with Notre Dame beating Penn State 27-24, and then number 8 Ohio State beating number 5 Texas 28-14. I mean, great. Both were fantastic games. Kind of the semifinal games we've been, you know, hoping and been wanting did yet. Ever since they did the college football playoff, with I mean, expanded to four teams, because it always seems like one, if not both, of those games were always kind of blowouts or something like that. But like, I mean, Ohio State Texas was, I mean, though Ohio State won by two touchdowns, like, it was 14-21 Ohio State. Tetsa was driving, and then Jet Sawyer had it. I don't know if he caused the fumble, but he did. He picked up the fumble recovery and returned it for a touchdown, you know, off his former, which I didn't know, former college teammate, Quinn Ewers. And that pretty much sealed the game for Ohio State and their berth in the national championship game, which, like I said, is next Monday. That is 8th seed Ohio State against number 7 seed Notre Dame. Ohio State with a record of 13-2 against Notre Dame, 14-1, 14 straight wins since their upset defeat to Northern Illinois early September. And that game is at 6:30 on ESPN. Ohio State is an 8-point favorite. Total points of 45.5. I think Notre Dame was a field goal. Was it a? Yeah. Like Notre Dame or Penn State had the ball. It was tied. You know, I think it was like the first or second play that Penn State had. Drew Aylor threw a pick. Which got them the ball, and they were able to drive down and hit that field goal. Let me check the bot score. I mean, Riley Leonard didn't have his best game. 223 yards, a touchdown, two interceptions on 15 for 23 passing. He did exit the game late second quarter, so Steve and Angeli came in relief for a little bit and had 44 yards on 6 out of 7 passing. But then Riley Leonard was able to come back in the second half. Leonard did have 35 yards rushing on 18 carries and a touchdown. So two total touchdowns. Jeremiah Love was a leading rusher, 46 yards and a touchdown, 117 yards as a team. Jaden Greathouse, 7 receptions for 105 yards and a touchdown, led Notre Dame. And then Steve Angeli had a fumble. Didn't lose it. They had 1 sack, 2 tackles for loss, 1 QB pressure, no QB hits. Penn State, Drew Allard, I mean, the only interception he threw was that last one late in the fourth quarter. Nicholas Singleton, leading rusher, 15 carries, 84 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Tyler Warren, leading receiver, 6 receptions, 75 yards. No touchdowns. Can I not see, like, targets? I guess not. I mean, he was the leading receiver. Like, I don't think they had a reception by... I don't think Penn State had a reception by a wide receiver until, like... It was, like... second half, like maybe late third, early fourth quarter, like if they were passing, it was like to a running back or Tyler Warren. So, and then they had 5 sacks as a team, 8 tackles for loss, 4 QB pressures, no hits. Abdul Carter had 1 sack, 2 tackles for loss, 3 solo tackles, and 5 total. As he's, I think, declared for the NFL draft shortly after the game, will definitely be a top 10 pick. And as we get, and then we have, you know, the national championship game. as Ohio State tries to, like, you know, win the first ever, I mean, they won the first ever college football playoff under the four-team format, and they'll try and be the first to win it under the 12-team format, as well as keep the national championship team out of the Big Ten Conference for back-to-back years. And Notre Dame's in, I think they're in the ACC, or in, like, I don't know what conference they're in. FBS Independence. Okay. So they're in a conference with UConn and Massachusetts, so not exactly the most competitive conference or anything like that at all. So, you know, we'll definitely be recapping, you know, the national championship game next week, as well as the NFL division round games. Moving on to college basketball. Like I said, a lot of them ranked top 25 matchups, some top 15. We got number 15 Mississippi State against number 1 Auburn at 6 o'clock on the SEC network in, you know, less than 15 minutes. A lot of these are at, like, 6. 21 Ole Miss against number 4 Alabama at 6 o'clock on ESPNU. Number 11 Texas A&M at number 8 Kentucky at 6 on ESPN2. And then top 5 ranked Florida at 15-1 playing Missouri, who's 13-3. Kind of surprised that they're not, like, ranked. I could see them being, like, 24, 25, like, some of that range. At 8 o'clock on ESPNU, number 3 Duke against Miami, who's 4-12. And then Ohio State at number 24, Wisconsin. That is at 8 on Peacock. So, I mean, hopefully I can watch most of these. Because I know, like, the NBA tonight, I think it's starting at 6. No, I think it's 6:30, never mind. With, like, their, you know, doubleheader games on TNT that they do on Tuesdays, so I should be able, if I can watch, like, Auburn, Mississippi State, Alabama, Ole Miss, Kentucky, Texas A&M, those are all SEC teams, my goodness. Through, like, YouTube TV, and then have, like, the NBA game in, like, one of the corners, that'd be ideal. Kind of doubt it, but maybe it can happen. Because, yeah, NBA. Oh, no, what is it? Sits. Never mind, yeah. So we have Cavaliers at Pacers. Cavaliers, I think, are still number 1 in the East. 33-5 against the Pacers, who are 22-18. At 6 o'clock on TNT/TrueTV/HBO Max. And then the second game of the doubleheader is the Nuggets at the Mavs at 8:30 on TNT/TrueTV/HBO Max. Denver's 3.5. Surprised they're not, like, maybe at least over 5, considering, like, Kyrie is out. Luka, I know, is out. Kyrie, I would expect possibly back within the next week. Luka, it'd probably be early February for that. And then there's a bunch of other games. Not really interesting. I mean, the Bulls are the Pelicans, the only other game I really care about. As I'm, you know, pushing for the Bulls to lose so we can, like, keep that top 10 protected pick and not have it fall out of the top 10, because then we go to San Antonio, as this year's draft class is a lot better than that's last year's, as there's more of a clear consensus of a number one, you know, draft prospect in Dukes Cooper Flagg. So we can start, you know, maybe trade some players and start tanking a little bit, increase our odds. Maybe we can get that number one overall pick that we haven't had since 2008 when we drafted Derrick Rose, who they are going to retire his number next season. So I think it's going to be the fifth number the Bulls have retired, so no one will be able to wear the number one for the Bulls. Standings. We might have went over this last week, but yeah, nothing much has really changed. That's still Cleveland, Boston, New York, Atlanta. Or no, Cleveland, Boston, New York, Orlando, Indiana, Milwaukee in the top six. Miami, Detroit, Atlanta, Chicago in that 7-10 play-in tournament, with the Sixers 2 games behind Chicago. And then the West, Oklahoma City, Houston, Memphis, Denver, Dallas, LA Clippers in the top six, with the Lakers in Minnesota only a half game out from the Clippers for that, you know, sit spot and a guaranteed, you know, playoff spot. And I had to do that, you know, play-in tournament with Sacramento and Phoenix as the 9-10 seeds, holding those last play-in spots, with San Antonio tied, same record as Phoenix, as both are 19-19, 500. And then Golden State Warriors are a half game back of Phoenix and San Antonio. And, you know, we have a drop to Portland, Utah, and New Orleans. So that's where the NBA stands. Like I said, 3 weeks, you know, from the trade deadline. I mean, nothing's happened, obviously. But I mean, I don't expect anything until like the end of the month to start maybe wrap, you know, increasing and intensing in like, you know, playoff implications and like, so yeah, that pretty much wraps up you know, this episode. Like I said, next week, NFL division round, recap, college football national championship game recap, and then we'll also probably do NFL conference championship games preview as well, as well being able to spend a little bit more time on like basketball and stuff like that now that college football, you know, will be over. That's kind of, and other than like the playoffs, there's been like, you know, players entering the transfer portal and announcing, you know, where they intend on transferring to. We might have like, you know, some more of that, players declaring for the NFL draft and stuff like that once the season officially ends, if players haven't announced. I think there's like a deadline to announce if you're going to declare for the draft or not. So that's kind of next week's episode. So hope you'll tune in then. And thanks for listening, and peace out.